a lot of times we don't, how can I say it? We're not as active as the Lord Jesus. We don't really get down to business about this thing called religion. I mean, really get down to business with it. Like the scripture tells us here in the book of St. Luke in the 14th chapter, Jesus said, I was daily with you in the temple teaching. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could daily be in the temple? Wouldn't it? Jesus was daily in the temple. I think some of them kind of gets the idea that Jesus, he went to the synagogues once in a while. The Bible says that it was his custom to be in the church or in the synagogue every Sabbath day. And so some folks take the consolation, if I get there once a week, that's the Lord, he was my example. That's not it at all. The Lord was about the Father's business. He never stopped. He was continually from early morning until late at night, and then around the clock, praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. The Bible says he rose up from sleep very early in the morning and went away to pray. And then the Bible said there's times when he continued all night in prayer. And then it says it was his way of life not to miss the services. Was in the synagogue on Sunday with a regularity, every Sabbath, the Bible said. And then it tells us here that this is him speaking himself. He said, I was daily with you in the temple, teaching. Daily with you in the temple, teaching. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we all had the same outlook? I've learned one thing in my life, and this lives with me. If I'm not daily in the temple teaching, then I want to be somewhere telling people about God. If I'm not in the temple teaching, I want to be teaching someone somewhere. I want to be talking to them about God as to their soul's welfare, or I want to be talking to them about God to the extent that we're going to feed the hungry or clothe those that are in need. I want to be talking to them about God in some way. Doesn't matter where I'm at. I want to be talking about God. I want to talk, when I lay down on my bed at night, I want to talk to God. Before I ever close my eyes and sleep, I want to talk to God. If I don't lay down on my bed, I want to get up somewhere and go get on my knees, and I want to talk to God. And folks, this is the truth, so help me God. My thrill is to keep him on my mind all the time. Brother Walker used to sing that song, When You See Me Coming, I've Got Him on My Mind. Jesus is on my mind 24 hours around the clock. That's all I live for. That's all I care for. That's all I want, because that's all that gives me any peace and happiness, is to think about him or talk about him or to do something for him all the time. This is life with me. To do those things, that's life with me. And without that, I wouldn't have any life. I see a lot of people, that enjoy different things. I've worked as a mechanic on automobiles, and I've tried to take things apart, radios and recorders, and I've worked on them, and I've painted, and I've climbed ladders, and I've carpentered, and worked as a carpenter, and I've waded in the mud, and I've done all kind of things. I've hoboed and slept on a freight train, and I've been all across the nation in the different parts of the world. But did you know that everything that I do, it doesn't matter what I do, I find out that I can keep my mind on God and love the Lord, and the reason that I'm doing it is for God. And did you know I've learned of my own feelings that if I'm not doing it for God, I don't want to mess with it. If it ain't for God, I don't want to mess with it. Now, I would work on somebody else's vehicle, or I have in the past, to try to help them, take a whole motor apart and redo it just for them. But I was doing it for God. That's why I was doing it. I was doing it for God. Or before I knew God, I did it for someone that I loved or cared for, respected. And now that I've really come to know God, I don't want to mess with anything if it isn't for God. I wouldn't want to live with my wife if it wasn't for God. I wouldn't. I wouldn't want to have any children if it wasn't for God. I'm telling you the truth from my heart. I wouldn't want any friends if it wasn't for God. I want friends for Christ's sake. And I want to be a friend for Christ's sake. And I want my wife for Christ's sake. where she can serve God and help me. My children can work with me. You know, and like my children, I love them. But when my children leave home and they go off and they marry and they get to doing their own thing, I don't go visit with them. I just, as a rule, I'm hardly ever in their home at any time. You know, it's very rare for me to ever go visit with them. Not because I don't love them. I love them very dearly. And they come to my home with a regularity. But even when they come to my home, I don't even join them. I don't even enjoy them being in my home unless they want to talk about Jesus. When they come in and talk about the money they made and the job, I sit there sometimes and I endure it. I listen at it. And I think, well, this is my children. I'll bear with them. But I think, dear God, why can't they get their minds off the junk and get their mind off the garbage? And let's talk about Jesus and talk about souls and talk about doing something for God and talk about something that's worthwhile. I'm telling you the truth. That's all I want. I don't want nothing else in my mind. Everything else to me is perishable. Everything else will pass away. The Bible said to place my affection, that I should place my affection on the things that are in heaven. That I shouldn't have my affection on the earthly things, but things that are in heaven. Isn't that right? Somebody say, aha, Brother Pike, there you are, right there. You get your mind on your wife. Then what? Well, she's in heaven with me. That's all right. Whatever is in heaven. You say, well, she couldn't be up there. Well, we're one, and wherever I am, there she is. So then I place my affection on that which is in heaven. I love you. I love you. I want to help you. And I'll do anything I can. But my affection is placed on them that dwell in heaven. The Bible said, rejoice ye that dwell in heaven. I communicate with the rest of you, and I try to get along with the rest of you, and I'll do anything I can, and I'll accept your services as to your believing in God, whatever it might be. But see, my affection is on them that dwell in heaven. Those are the ones that we come together with, you know, in heaven. I want to be in heaven. I want to do things in heaven. I want to walk in the Spirit. I don't want to walk in the flesh. See, the Bible says that we should pray to the God of heaven, Father, deliver us from temptation. And I pray that way. I pray, Father, deliver me from temptation, because I want to be delivered from temptation. I don't want God to deliver me into temptation, and God will lead you into temptation. You know, you get out here and you're trying to show yourself who you are and what you are and how you can go along and don't have to go to church and break the rules of God and break the Word of God and try to appear religious to somebody and show them how you can stand up and be this or that. God will lead you into temptation so that the dart can strike through your liver to where you'll fall on your face in front of all of them, because you are misleading them and you're taking them away from His Word, and you're taking away from His Word and taking them away from His Word, and you're taking the things of God out of their life because you're not going on with God and you're not leading them right. You may think that everything's just fine. You know, bless God, I go to church whenever I take a notion. And you see, I'm doing all right. I'm a preacher. I'm a child of God. I go on. I just go to church once in a while. And after a while, God will see you leading His people away from what the minister has taught them of being in the temple daily, as we say. And the first news you know, God will lead you into a place to where the dart can strike through your liver. You'll fall and everybody will see your fall. Because, see, God's going to have it His way, folks. He's going to have it His way. It doesn't matter what Brother Pike thinks, or Brother Taylor thinks, Brother Roberts thinks, or Brother Branham when he was here, or what Paul thought when he was here, Abraham. It doesn't matter about all of that. God had it His way. And God's going to have it His way. Paul thought he was a great man when he was here. He said, I'm blameless as touching the law. I'm a Pharisee of Pharisees. And he said, I'm just so-so. I've sat at the feet of Gamaliel. I know what it's all about. But God let the dart strike through the liver. And Paul had to humble himself to the extent that somebody led him because he was blind. Because he was leading God's people away from what God wanted. He thought he was religious and he thought he was doing the right thing. But he was leading God's people away from what God wanted. So God let the dart strike through the liver. That is to say, God struck him down on the way to Damascus, and he had to go about like a blind man getting somebody to lead him because he wasn't going God's way. He was having the saints killed. He was having them put in prison, and he thought he was doing God a service. I tell you this in the name of the Lord tonight. I tell you this, and you can remember it or not, but you must come to the house of God. You can't just come to the house of God whenever you take a good notion and just be out yonder, and you can't just listen to tapes, and you can't just get literature and stay outside of the church of the living God and think that God's going to uphold you and bless you. You can't just come to the men's meeting if you're coming at all and stay till it's about half through and leave because you've got to get to your job. I thought the other night somebody left, maybe more than one. Somebody mentioned two, and it was perhaps others. But I thought, now you're going home for no other reason than to get to your job and to satisfy your gullible desire because of your position. And yet there's other men staying here that I personally know get up before daylight, because a lot of times I'm looking out the window where I've left my prayer closet or my praying place and looking out the window, and it's before daylight that I see them go by to their job. And you don't have to get there until a reasonable time, and you still won't listen to the things of God, and you still put those things first. I tell you in the name of the Lord Jesus, you're not going to prosper. You're going to get in trouble, and it doesn't matter if you build a mountain of finance or a mountain of convenience. God's going to burn it and tear it every bit down, or you're going to lose something so dear to you until you're going to be sorry that you took your foolish intellectual reasoning and continued against what the preacher said. I'm talking about, these are people that do this thing against what I tell them after I preach to them days and weeks and months and years. And I can get through talking to them after hours of conversation, and they'll do the same thing just as quick as I finish. It means you haven't got it, folks. Let's face it. It means that you haven't got salvation. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, I'm a believer. I don't doubt but what you're a believer. But Paul said, have you received salvation since you believed? Or that is, have you received the Holy Ghost, which is the only salvation there is? Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? I tell you again, you cannot get into heaven without the Holy Ghost. Heaven is a spiritual place. It is a dimension that is of the Spirit. And the only way to get into the Spirit, into heaven, is through Christ. The Bible says that Jesus Christ alone dwells in that light. He alone dwells in that light, which means I must be baptized into Him. I must put Him on. I must be a part of Him, and He must be a part of me for me to get into heaven, for me to get into that great light. And remember, when I say light, I'm talking about understanding. To get into this great life, this great revelation, this great understanding, the mystery Paul spoke of, where we don't have to sleep, where we can bypass death, for great is the mystery of godliness. Paul said, I am a steward of the mysteries of God. So then to get into this great light, I must be one with Jesus. For Jesus alone can dwell in that great light. And if you don't have His Spirit, Christ said, you are none of mine. If ye have not the Holy Ghost, which is Christ's Spirit, He said, then you are none of mine. And brethren, if you have the Holy Ghost, sisters in Christ, if you have the Holy Ghost, you will do exactly like Jesus did. Because it is His nature, it is His life. You are partakers of the divine nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you have His nature, then you'll do the very same thing that He did. And if you don't do the same things, then you don't have His nature. It is absolutely imperative to our salvation and our walk with God that we come to church. You know, come to church with thanksgiving. I want you to think on this. It makes it difficult for me to be able to fellowship you and place my affection on you, or for God to speak through me to you, if you don't come in with thanksgiving and praise. You get upset with somebody else, and then you're going to run right straight into me. That's what happens. A lot of times when it comes to all these things of the music and the sound equipment and all this, I run into people because they are upset with somebody else and they bring it to church. And then they can't flow evenly with me, and then they run into God, because it's not me speaking but Christ speaking to His people. And God is expecting us to respond, to conform, not to stand in the way of sinners, nor to sit in the seat of the scornful, not to reason in our mind, but to bring every thought into subjection to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Anybody playing the piano, playing the organ, playing the drums, or whatever, I run into every one of them.
I run into him playing the drum. I run into him playing the organ. I run into him playing the piano. I run into him with the sound system. I run into him in every way because they come in here with the wrong thoughts. And of course, when I get into the anointing, I see it just as clear as if you turn a light on. See, and a lot of times they're upset with others. See, and this is the same way it is out here. If you come in, when I come in here, and I'm just talking to Brother Taylor and talking to somebody else, I don't see it. But just as quick as I get into the anointing, I can see it just as if you had a light out there trying to shine it in my face. I can see it. So don't come into the sanctuary like that. It just means that God's going to curse you, that's all, because I'm the blesser and the curser. See, I'm the minister of God. And if I'm up here, I'm the one that blesses and I'm the one that curses. And judgment begins at the house of God. And whoever I bless is blessed. And whoever I curse is cursed. And I cannot curse somebody that is in the anointing and in the mind of Christ. I cannot do it. My inward parts won't let me do it because it is Christ speaking. And I cannot bless anybody that's in the carnal mind. God on the inside is speaking and he won't let me do that. So then, when you come into the house of God, the Bible said, be more ready to learn, to hear, than give the sacrifice of food, which is your thoughts and your opinions that God's going to speak. God's going to pick up. Your thoughts speak loud in heaven, in the spirit. Jesus would walk around where men was, and he'd start talking to them, and then he would get grieved. And Jesus would look at him and say, why does thoughts arise in your hearts? Why do you do that? Why do you stand here in my presence and let those kind of thoughts come up in your heart? Why do you do that, Jesus said. See, somebody said, well, bless God, you ain't God, Brother Pike. But the Bible says, it shall not be me speaking, but God speaking, and they shall all be taught of God. And the judgment will begin in the house of God, and whosoever sins the minister remits shall be remitted, and whosoever sins the minister retains shall be retained. Whatever he binds on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever he looses on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Whoever he curses shall be cursed. Whoever he blesses shall be blessed. For he is the minister of God. And he is set there to execute judgment upon them that do evil. God said the minister is set there to execute judgment upon them that do evil. See, he is the judge. He is the judge. This is a courtroom. You know, they have 12 elders. In the church, as a rule, they have 12 elders, which has to do with the jury. And the preacher is the judge. The judge is the one that executes judgment upon them that do evil. See, in Christ and Lucifer, both of them are here, whether you believe that or not. The Bible said, and when the sons of God came to present themselves, Lucifer came also. That is, some are spots and blemishes in your feast of charity. Lucifer, the accuser of the brethren, is always present because he's the prosecutor. And Christ is always your defense. He's there. And he's offering you grace. And he wants to get you out of it. And the judge is waiting to give the decision, which is the minister, God on the inside of him, speaking those words. For he is set there to execute judgment upon them that do evil. Someone would say, bless God, when I get to heaven, Brother Pike, I'm going to have just as much chance as you have. I'll tell you one thing, beloved friend. If you get to heaven, Brother Pike agrees that you're going to have just as much chance as he has. But the thing is, you're not going to get to heaven because I'm not going to let you go to heaven. Now, what do you think about that? If you do evil. So that if you make it into heaven, you're all right. That means that we're friends. You understand what I'm saying? And when I say that, I'm not speaking of Brother Pike. I'm speaking of the ministry. The ministry isn't going to let you get in. There's no way. The Bible said that when Adam was put out of that garden there, God set a flaming cherub there. I know we got a lot of ministers running through the land, you know, and it's pretty boys that pushes girls around and hugs their neck and says dear and honey and all these kind of things. And we got a conglomeration of a mess, if you'll pardon my expression. And I know that people just fill the churches up because they like to do that. But I'm not talking about those kind of things. I'm talking about the ministry and the ones that God has sent and getting to heaven. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about having eternal life and going on with God. You know, that's what I'm speaking of. So, I want to follow God. It's like the days of Ruth. She could have followed a lot of those fellas. They could have given her probably a good home and give her food, and they were making money and they worked for Boaz. But she set her heart on Boaz because she knew that's where the wealth and the riches really was. See, and that's the way it is with me, and that's the way it should be with you. We should set our minds on God and on the Word.
Let the rest of the world do what they want to. It don't matter what kind of church it is. Whether it's one church or another, whether it's one preacher or another, whether it's one doctrine or another, set your mind on the Word of God. And on God, that's where the treasures is. That's where life is. That's where all of the good things are. See, so then don't get carried away with somebody. You know, I think one of the worst things that I know of is somebody or people or ministers, and this happens all around the world. I met numbers of them, always talking about a great day's coming. Something great is going to happen. And when this thing comes on the scene, and I think, you hypocrite, all you do is deceive God's people. You keep them tore down. You keep them blinded. You won't go in, and you stand at the door, and the rest of them won't go in because you've got them blinded. What you need to do, what I need to do, what we all need to do is to get the Spirit of Christ on in our heart, in our heart. And when we do, we'll be in the temple daily. We'll be in the temple when we have chance, and we'll be talking to people about God everywhere. This is what God's wanting. And if you go contrary to that, you are a hypocrite, or you are cheating God, or you are a proselyte. The Bible said, two fold more the child of hell than you was before you ever heard anything about God. And you're just going to cause trouble. That's all you're ever going to do. And you're just going to be one great disappointment. You're never going to have God. And you're never going to do anything for God because you're just going to be one great disappointment. I mean, it's always going to be that way. It ain't never going to be no other way in your life. So let us get with the Lord. Let us do what God tells us. And like Naomi said to Ruth, and whatever he tells you, you better do that. And like it was concerning Jesus, his mother, said, now when he comes along, whatever he tells you, that's what you better do. And if it's not me speaking, but God speaking, then whatever he tells you, you had better do that. You'd better do that because God is going to require it of you. Do I come here to tell you about God? Or do I come here so that you may be taught of God? For the Bible said, as it is written, they all shall be taught of God. For it shall not be the minister speaking, but God speaking from within him. And said, I'll make my ministers a flame of fire. They'll devour you. They can just devour you. They're set there to execute judgment upon them that do evil. Will ye not then be afraid, the Bible said, seeing that they are God's ministers set there to execute judgment upon them that do evil? Do you think you can half-heartedly listen at the minister and then do what you want to do and go your way and everything's going to be all right? I tell you in the name of the Lord, you can't do it. You'd better give the more earnest heed to what he has said. If you don't want to be called into the judgment, stay away from that minister so that you don't hear nothing. And if you don't hear nothing, then that means you don't know nothing. Now, you're going to know enough in that God's going to let a little come over the radio and a little come over the television. Somebody's going to hand you a pamphlet and you're going to hear a little bit on the street corners and whatever you pass by, a little bit on the radios, whatever. You're going to know enough that after a while, the dark is going to strike through your liver and you're going to hell. You're going to wind up in the flames of hell because the minister is still preaching, though you don't hear it. You know, a lot of folks are like the ostrich, you know. They run and stick their head in the ground and they think everything's all right. While a foot crushes the eggs they've laid, and while a car almost runs over them, as I've done coming through some of these, whatever they call it, where the animals are, had them to run, stick their head right down, you know, right there at the car, run right across in front of it. The Bible said that God has robbed him of his understanding, that he doesn't have any understanding. God has taken away his understanding because there are work people in the world that doesn't have any understanding. And there has to be something in the animal kingdom that shows that. See, there has to be something natural to show the spiritual condition of that person that's blind and ignorant. We see a blind man stumbling around. The Bible said, and these that don't know God, and these that have never received God, the Bible said, and they are blind, for the God of this world, even Lucifer, has blinded their eyes, even their eyes of understanding, that they might not see when good cometh. They're blind. They'll never see it. That's why they laugh and talk and dope up and do the things they do and do the ugly things out in the world and say the ugly things in the world that they ought not to do because they are blind. They do not see. They don't see when good comes. How do you understand what I'm saying? So then some, like the ostrich, they don't have any understanding. It doesn't matter what you tell them. They still don't know nothing. And you finish. Paul said, you are ignorant. And he said, I wouldn't have you ignorant. God doesn't want you ignorant. See, the Word of God says, if the Word of God says it, that's the way it is. If the preacher gets up and say, look, folks, you got to come to church. Like a brother came to me just today, was it? I believe it was today. And he started telling me something about, you got to pray for me, you got to pray for me, even today or yesterday. You got to pray for me. I don't know, Brother Pike, if you don't pray for me. And I thought, how many times have I prayed for you? And I thought, if you don't quit nipping on the bottle, and if you don't quit playing around and taking advantage of all that God's got, God's going to get you. Brother Pike can pray, or whoever can pray, but God's going to get you. I said, what you need to do is get back in church and come to church more regular. And he said, that's right. That's right. See, there ain't no need of doing wrong, folks, and think you're going to get by with it. Act like Brother Pike don't know anything about it and God don't know anything about it. The Bible speaks of a little bird carrying the matter and said, and God will reveal it to him in his bedroom, in his secret chambers. God will talk to him. So see, you can't get away with those things. You can't muddle up the things of God and the people of God and muddle up their minds and go through your frivolous way of life because you think that that's right and because you say, well, this is the way I see it and this is the way I feel. You know, people say, you believe that and I believe this, and you go to that church and I go to this church, and you feel that way and I feel this way. It doesn't matter how I feel. It doesn't matter how you feel. It doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter what church you go to. You are going to hell unless you have faith in this word. And this word gives you a system by which you must serve God with your minds. And whatever you have your minds on, that is what you are serving. So then God gives us a system. What you must do is what the minister tells you. If he is in the word, then Paul said, follow him as he follows Christ. If you don't, you're going to be in trouble. And I'll tell you what, not only are you going to be in trouble for withdrawing from these things, but you're going to be in trouble with blood on your hand for misleading people and indoctrinating them in their minds with the wrong thing. You're going to have their blood on your hand. And you're going to have problems in this life like you never dreamed of. And then you're going to miss eternal life over the hill, as we say. When you come to the other, you're going to miss it too. So what should we do, folks? We should come to church. We need to learn to be a little more punctual. We need to come on time a little better. I know that I'm late sometimes, and I know that you're late sometimes, and I know that God allows for that to the extent that maybe something happened and you couldn't help it. But folks, when we get to be habitual, and we get to making it a practice just to come whenever we take a good notion or when everything works out convenient for us, and we get through with our baths and combing our hair and whatever we're doing and talking to our neighbors and visiting with whoever came and whatever, and when we take a good notion to come, or we want to shut our jobs down, we shut our jobs down, you know, and we say, well, we're going to get this little done, and we're going to get this little done, and we're going to keep these three people out of church, and by the time we get to church, church is half over. And God help some of you, because this is the truth if I've ever spoken in my life. I have finished my sermon. And look, and you'd be coming into church after I had finished the sermon. So you need to do something. Now, like tonight, I'd gotten ready a little early and went into my room just to kind of talk with the Lord a little bit. And I slipped out because different ones kept coming into the room, and I finally just slipped on out. People was talking in the house as usual, you know. And if I come to church, I just have to leave. There ain't no days, you know, where there ain't something going on. Hardly ever, if any. So I went down to the presses where Stevie was down there. They were running the presses. And when I got down there, Stevie, he had maybe 30, 40 minutes. I don't know how long. He still had to run the paper. He'd run the roll, had just a little bit of the roll left. Now, I said to Stevie, don't leave that and come to church. I said, go ahead and run what you got. It won't take that long. And that's the gospel, and that's the food. You're doing the same thing there I'm doing here. I said, if you had a big roll to run, I'd say, shut it down. Come on to church. Don't be late. I said, but with this, you're almost finished. He's got it stacked up again down there since we got the press fixed. And I said, now run that on, Stevie, and then come to church. And I look around, and Stevie, he's done run it, done cleaned up, and you're in church before you hardly realize it. You know, now God will allow for things like that, folks. But just because you've got a job over here and you're making money, and you say, well, I'm making X amount of dollars, you know, and I got to get this finished. There ain't no days when you're going to run out of brick in Egypt. There'll always be something out there in Egypt to do. Because Satan's going to see that there's always something to do so that you won't get to church on time and so that you won't have time to go worship God. So folks, what you got to do is, like I said at the first of the service here, the Lord said to me one day, and he speaks to you the same way to one. He said, I say this to all. In the Bible it says, take time to be holy. He didn't ask you if you was an executive or president or queen or king or a scholar or a millionaire or whatever. Or you got a good church background, or you belong to this, or you got this kind of problem or that kind of problem. He said, take time to be holy and seek the kingdom of God first. And then you can take care of your job. You get those men to church. You let them off in time to go to church. You say, well, Brother Pike, they don't care anyway. I know. Some of them about half-hearted, about like you. You don't care if you get here and you done got them in the same mind. I preach to them and reprogram them and get them like little babies in the mind to go to church. And you get out there with your gullible desire for a dollar, and you take my brethren here and my babes in Christ here, and you get them out there and you get that old devilish mind in them to make money and the gullible desires of the world, and you program their little minds to where they hardly know the way home anymore. And God's going to burn your fields for it. One day he'll chop your tree down for that and throw it into the fire. One day he'll do away with you altogether, and he'll put you down to where you can't hardly get a biscuit because of that. You stop your job. I don't care how important it is. You stop your job and you get to church. Or you get you another job that you can get to church with. Or you tell those that's working for you that they need to go to the house of God. Even if you're not planning to come, you better let them off and let them come. Or after a while, you'll be working for them. And they won't be working for you. You say, what makes you think that? Because I'm going to pray that it'll work that way. And God's going to answer my prayer. I've done it before. I never will forget. I've related this to you before. Over in a place over in Olive Branch, Mississippi. A man, a big operator. I mean, when you walked down the road, you saw the houses in line. I mean, lines of houses. A big operator that had been that way for years. And one day I went to him right down in the middle of his houses and right into his office and right up into his face. And I said, and the Lord said, and he got angry. He got mad. He reared back against the desk because he was a big fella. And he just talked. This is no exaggeration. He just speak. And there's something that just made would go weak on the inside. But nevertheless, God said, you go to him and tell him. And I said, God said. And when he finally got his bearings, he began to try to explain how that wouldn't happen. But folks, it came to pass that he left that city and come down to the little town that I was in and walked into the building where I was doing something for carpenter work and carpenter work for Christ. And I had this other man that worked for him by the hour. And he walked in and didn't know that I heard him up in the balcony as he walked under when he asked the man for a job. He lost. He said, I lost. Lost everything, so to speak, and was going down, down, down. See, God will raise you up if you will put him first. And God will bless you because the preacher is going to pray for God to do that. But if you don't follow God, and you try to tear down the church, and you cause division, and you find fault, and you go contrary with the rules and regulations of God's work and God's grounds, and you do these things that are contrary, God will tear you to pieces. He said, beware ye that forget me, lest I tear you into pieces. He said, I'll pursue you till you perish from off of the face of the earth. So then God will actually tear you into pieces. He'll do that. Somebody said, well, I don't think he'd do that. I'll tell you what, go out and look at some of the wrecks. Go out and look at some of the plane crashes. Go out and look when the tornadoes sweep through. Look at that shuttle. They said they found the people in pieces from the shuttle. God will tear you into pieces. You're not going to get by with that. Somebody said, well, I think I'll make it. I'm religious, you know, and I got a religious background. I'm going to tell you, like I told my children, you might be the preacher's children, but God will tear you into pieces. It don't mean no more to God for you to be the preacher's children than anybody else's children. God is no respecter person. He'll tear you into pieces, just like he said. And I'll meet you as a bear robbed of her cubs. So then, you need to remember that. You might have a praying mother. You might have a praying daddy. But that don't mean you're going to go to heaven. You'll still go to hell if you do wrong. You're going to have to do right. Solomon was David's son, but the Bible said he fell away in his old age. David had another son, but that son was killed in his sins. Absalom, because of his deceit and because of his evil, dirty deeds, he was killed. Joab killed him. And on many occasions, as it was with Eli, his children was killed. Your children can be killed, even if you are a praying man or woman. Mine can be killed. That's why that I try to talk to God and plead with them all the time. It doesn't mean that God won't let them get killed. He'll do everything He can to protect them if you pray. But beloved friend, let me tell you something. When they get to the place to where they absolutely are going to be dirty and low down, and especially reproach God and do things contrary to God's things, then you're in trouble. It's like Rick was telling me. Rick said, I got to get off of this campground. We made allowance that at times that people can come into different homes on the campground if they'll try to be decent while they're here and act decent, not break the rules, and not just come and homestead to where we can talk to them and help them, especially you and your children or I and our loved ones. We tried to do this, you know, to give them opportunity to reprogram their minds. But like Rick, he said, I haven't been here too long. Whereas Ricky didn't intend to be here that long, and Ricky shouldn't be here that long. You know, but he went up there in the bus. He got into the bus is his. And he got there in the bus, and he's been living there for a number of days and being held up on his truck. But he said, I said, why have you got to get off, Rick? I knew what it was. He said, man, I got to get off. I said, I ain't got no business being on here. He said, when you live on here, you're supposed to do what's right, and you're supposed to keep these rules. And said, we're not doing that. And said, I got to get out of here. I talked with him a little bit. He was under condemnation. He knew that he needed to get off of this campground if he wasn't going to do right. You understand what I'm saying? He knew that. He knew he couldn't stay here like that, and he knows he can't stay here because he said he's leaving day after tomorrow. But see, I've had time to reprogram his mind some, and you've had time to reprogram his mind some, and it's really helping. It's really helping, Rick. But at the same time, he knows he's supposed to keep the rules and regulations of this campground. You're supposed to do that. Just because all the jumble up mess has gotten in here like I told you it would, you get over the Jordan and here comes the leaven mixing with the unleavened, and nobody can stop it. It's just a mixed up mess. But it doesn't change the rules. Like I told my wife the other day, it doesn't change them one bit. God gave grace. He let Jesus spill His blood so that grace could be here. But folks, it doesn't change God one iota. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever to every generation. The same God that made the earth open up and swallow them up and said, let them go down to the pit quickly. That same God is going to do you the same way. He hasn't changed. He's still the same God. And He's coming back in Revelation 19 and going to fight till the blood runs up to the horse's bridle to kill those that have broke His rules and regulations, and that's walked over the law and has not tried to keep the righteousness of the law. So as I said, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. What is a righteous man? Somebody said, one that prays. No, that doesn't mean he's righteous. One that fasts, that doesn't mean he's righteous. The man stood in the temple, he said, I pray, I fast, I give tithe. God didn't have no time for him. See, that's not what righteousness is. Righteousness is by faith. The Bible said that God imputed faith unto Abraham for righteousness. And faith cometh by the hearing of the word. And the Bible said your faith is shown by your obedience to the command of God. If God says to be in the temple daily, and you're not in the temple daily as to when you can come to church, then I want you to know that you don't have faith in God, and you don't have the Holy Spirit. No one could have it. You say, but I pray and fast. I don't care how much you pray and fast. Moses went 40 days and then went 40 more days and went 80 days without food or water. That did not mean that he had the Holy Ghost. Not at all. It doesn't mean a thing. All your fasting, all your praying, all this thing that you're supposed to do doesn't mean you've got the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the Spirit of Christ, and Christ is the Word. And when you get the Spirit of the Word, you'll know it, because you will do exactly what the Word says. Jesus said, I do always the things that I see my Father do. In the beginning was the Word.
And this is what I'm telling you, folks. I'd rather fast one day out of a month. I'd rather pray one time out of a year and still try to walk in the Word to the best of my ability than to be a great faster and a great prayer and a great whatever it might be and think that I had salvation. You say, well, Brother Plank, how are you going to do that? Well, you couldn't do it because it tells you as the minister especially to fast and pray often. We're to fast and pray often. And it tells you that you must pray. But if it was so that I could get by with it, I'd rather do that. I'd rather have the Spirit of the Word than all of these other things because it doesn't mean that you have the Holy Ghost. You understand what I'm saying? We are translated into the kingdom of God by the mind of Christ, which is the Spirit of the Word. And if you don't have the Spirit of the Word, you don't have salvation. Remember that. It doesn't matter if you're a believer. Daniel was a believer, but he didn't have the Holy Ghost. You understand what I'm saying? Elisha, a double potion in working miracles, but he didn't have the Holy Ghost. How many listen to what I'm saying? Judas, he was with Jesus and in the presence of Jesus and obtained part of that ministry, but he didn't have the Holy Ghost and he failed by transgression. You say, but Daniel didn't fall. I know Daniel didn't fall. But Daniel had to rest in his lot. Daniel couldn't enter into that great place. There was no way because he died in the faith, not having received the promise, but looking forward to the coming of the day of Peter when Peter stood on the day of Pentecost and said, this is that the prophet Joel spoke of, and this is what God promised to our father Abraham. And this is the promise, saying, tarry here, wait for this promise, for he will come. You've heard of me, he said, and he will come, even the Holy Ghost. He will come. And when the Holy Ghost came, then the graves broke open. And then people that was in the heart of the earth was resurrected, and they went into paradise with the Lord Jesus yonder in that new place that Jesus said, I go to prepare. See, so it's going to take Christ's Spirit. It doesn't matter what you do, you've got to have His Spirit, and His Spirit is the Spirit of the Word. If the Word says you must fast, you must fast. If it says you must pray, you must pray. If it says that you must sacrifice and give your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, then He doesn't mean a dead sacrifice. He means an active person that's doing something for God. And if the Bible said pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, that you visit the widows and the orphans and their afflictions and then keep yourself unspotted from the world, you can fast and pray all you want to, but if you don't do those things, you just don't have the goods. Somebody says, well, I don't believe it like that. Well, it doesn't matter what you believe. Your believing is not faith. There's only one faith, and that's by the hearing of the Word. You can believe what you want to and still die and go to hell. That has nothing to do with it. People believe all kinds of things. All right, so then what should we do, folks? Love the Lord with all of our heart. Be fervent in spirit. Be effectual toward God. Be clean. Be righteous so that God will hear our prayers. And our prayers won't be hindered. Come to the house of God with a regularity and stay till the service is over. Don't just sit there somewhere in men's meeting or in the house of God until you feel a little heavier. You think, well, I'm going home. They've done said this before. You stay there. Now, if something comes up and you realize it's a bunch of foolishness, that's a different thing. But you don't need to slip out then. You need to let the man that's in charge know that you're leaving and quit pulling your little phantom sort of a deal where you ease out. Somebody goes to the restroom and you think, well, they won't know any better. So I'll just ease out and they'll think, I've gone over, you know, and I'll be back. But that's deceit. That's a devil. That's an evil one. And that very devil that told you that is the one that is the owner of your soul. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Gets down close, don't it, folks? I tell you what, it's like Vince was telling me this evening. He said, you know what? He said, if I hadn't heard them things right there, if we didn't come around and hear them things, we never would know nothing about that. Them are supposed to be the little things. But you know, on the other hand, it's the little foxes that spoils the vines. Isn't that right? And the Bible tells us that our vines have tender grapes. Tender grapes. Well, what can we do, Brother Pike? One thing, have faith in God. In the Word. How do we know that we have faith in the Word, which is God? By honoring the Word.
He was daily in the temple teaching them. It was his custom to be there every Sabbath day. Jesus prayed. Somebody said, well, I got to do other things. Jesus done other things. He fasted. He didn't drop behind on his fasting. He didn't drop behind on his praying. And yet he done all the other things by carrying the word, by being in the house of God. Somebody said, well, I got to go preach. He did all of that and still was in the temple and still was in the house of God. I believe you can do it, folks. I believe you can do it. It's like I said the other day. I was talking to somebody and something come up about my mother. I said, look at my mother. I said, she comes to church so much, just as they will bring her, in the condition that she's in, and she still comes to church. And look at my wife's mother, 83 years old, and she still comes to church. And then we're going to excuse ourselves because we just come when we take a good notion, go where we want to, have no system about nothing, under no shepherd, under no leadership, under nothing. And you think God's going to take us to heaven? There ain't no way. There ain't no way. All right, I love you, and I'm just trying to tell you these things for your good, because Brother Pike, it doesn't matter to me. It matters to the extent I love you and I want to help you, but it doesn't matter to me. You let somebody else program your mind and you practice after somebody else, the things that they're doing is contrary to what I'm telling you. Go to hell. Let's everybody stand together. I want to help you. I want to lead you. I want to guide you. I really would like to do something to help you find Christ. But beloved friend, I don't know any way to help you except through faith in the Word. Faith cometh by the hearing of the Word. And as I've said so many times, in the last days, the Bible said that they will depart from the faith. That is, they will depart from the Word and give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. There are doctrines of devils in the world. And a doctrine of the devil is somebody telling you something outside of the Word. Anything outside of the Word is a doctrine of the devil. They'll depart from the Word. They'll depart from the faith. And they'll give heed to seducing spirits and old wives' fables. The Bible said, flee these things. Don't get caught in those things. Don't run after riches. The Bible said, flee those things concerning riches, O man of God. Lay hold on eternal life. For many, in following after those things, have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. All right. I appreciate you. I love you. We've tried to exhort you a little bit tonight. Some are kind of mystified in the sense of the trip to Mexico and they don't exactly know what's going on. If nothing happens, we'll be going a little bit later. Brother Johnny had a dream that we put the trip off until about the 15th or 16th. And sure enough, it worked right around to where the man's vision apparently was of God, because they put it off, as far as I know, to the very date that the dream or night vision was about. If you want to prosper, I tell you the secret, as I told you before. If you want to prosper, everybody wants to prosper. And the Bible said, I would above all things that ye prosper. Think about that, above all things. I'd like for you to prosper. Said, and I'd like for you to be healthy. Prosper and be in health. Said, even as your soul prospers. He doesn't wish you any prosperity outside of your soul prosperity. Your soul prosperity first, all the other added. I would that you prosper even as your soul prospers, and I would that you be in health. But he says this is the only way you can do it. There ain't no other way. He that confesseth his sins. He that confesseth his sins. The little foxes spoil the vines. He said, well, I don't think that was very bad, Brother Pike, and I didn't see anything real wrong with this. And I know I broke this little thing over here, and I know it wasn't right, you know, in the presence of God and the preaching of the saints and on the campground. I broke the rule, and I know I shouldn't have done this on the campground. I know I shouldn't have done this out yonder when I was away from the saints of God. I should have kept my heart clean and thought right. Now, see, he said, and he that confesseth his sins, and he that forsaketh his sins. Not a habitual practice of doing it over and over. But if you will forsake your sins. Now you're after money. Some of you just as hard after money as you can go. The secret to prosperity is not having a love for money. Because it's the love for the money that causes you to do your evil. That's the evil of it all. Somebody said that money, that's the evil of it all. filthy lucre. No, it didn't say nothing about money being the root of it all. It said your gullible desire for it is the root of it. You'll cheat, you'll swindle, you'll lie, you'll sign contracts, you'll slip around the truth, you'll gyp your brother, you'll trade and give him a piece of junk, you know, and slip it over on him. That's sin, that's evil. You'll die and go to hell for that. So you must pay your bills. You must be right. You must be clean. The love of money, that's the root to it. That's what causes all the evil, is the desire for it. It'll make you get up and walk out of men's meeting instead of sitting like you ought to through the meeting. It'll make you not come to church and you've got to get a little extra sleep so you can get up to make money. It'll make you put God off. It'll make you do all kinds of things. It's your love that's the root of the whole thing. So then the secret is this, and I'm going to say this and I'm going to close. I would above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospereth. And the secret to prosperity is he that confesseth his sins and forsaketh his sins. The Bible says concerning that man or woman, whatsoever they do shall prosper. It don't make no difference if they just peddle peanuts. They'll prosper. Whatever they do, they'll prosper. But the Bible said, he that covereth his sins, this is the secret of failure. He that covereth his sins. Oh, that didn't mean nothing. God didn't think nothing about that. That little old thing. He that covereth his sins. I'll violate this. I'll stay out of church. I'll do whatever. He that covereth his sins. The Bible said, shall not prosper. And I'm going to say this again. When you look around and you see a person that just can't get ahead, they just drag by, they barely get by, no matter what. You can say that poor soul does this and they've done that and they've given and all of these other things and this is the reason why. But brethren, let me tell you something. There's only one answer to the situation for that individual, whether it would be me or you or whoever, they are covering their sin. They're not straight with God. Somebody says, well, I don't believe that. Well, I don't care what you believe. That's what the Bible says. All your believing's nothing. There ain't no believing that's faith except the Word. The Word says that. So that's where the problem is. He that confesseth his sins and forsaketh his sins, the Bible said he's going to prosper. When you see a person that don't prosper, you know that they're covering their sins. I don't care if they're a preacher, laity, whoever they are. I don't care if they've been saved 10 years or 15 years, as someone says. They are covering their sins. They're not walking straight with God. And the Bible said, if a man will confess his sins and forsake his sins, he will prosper. So it don't matter what you say. He's going to prosper. Somebody says, well, it's because of this. Ain't no because of that. No because about it. He will prosper. So if he doesn't prosper, it's something wrong. Somebody say, I love the Lord. You say, you supposing that worldly gain is godless? Of course not. The Bible said, supposing that worldly gain is godless, from such turn away. You didn't bring nothing into the world. It's for sure you ain't going to take nothing out. And the Bible said, don't fall after riches. You'll pierce yourself through with many sorrows. But that has nothing to do with the Scripture when it said, he shall prosper or he shall not prosper. Just as those things stand as God's Word, so does the other. All right, let's sing a little chorus together. I love you. I want to help you. And I'll do anything I can, folks, from the bottom of my heart. Let's sing the little chorus, I love him, can we? I love him. I love him. All because that he first loved me. And he purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. You know, today I was talking to someone, and they asked me, they come and ask me about prosperity and these kind of things. Folks want to prosper. And like Nicodemus, some of them come by night. And I was telling some of them today, they asked me the question concerning the prosperity and these things. I said, the Bible says, he that soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. I said, and he that soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. I said, now let me ask you a question. If the Bible said by his stripes you were healed and you believe that, I said, what would happen to you? He said, well, I would be healed. I said, if the Bible said, if you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. I said, what about that? Well, he said, it's got to be that way. Because it says it. I said, if he says, if you sow bountifully, then you're going to reap bountifully. I said, what about that? He said, it's got to be that way. If I believe it, then I'll do it. If I do it, it proves I believe it. And it's got to happen. I said, it sure has. There ain't no way in the world can be an alter to change. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, I'm getting along. I've got a good income and I'm doing fine. And me and my wife's getting by. I know. You don't have all that much, do you? Well, I don't have as much as others. I know. You know why? Because you don't sow like the others do. Somebody said, well, I don't have it. That's the reason. No, it doesn't work like that. That isn't the way it works. I'll tell you what. Take 3 grain of corn, drop it in the ground, take care of it this year. It might be pinchy because you're just getting started. Drop it in the ground, let it grow, and take care of it. And then when you pull the ears of corn off of the 3 stalks, I've raised corn as a boy, and you raise it right, the way my granddaddy taught to raise it, and he gets up there and you pluck them off, you'll have, then shell them off, and you'll have a whole bucket full of just 2 or 3 little grains. See, that's God's law. Whatever you put in, that's the way it is, folks, if you take care of it. So some of you don't give much of your time to God, so he don't give much of his time to you. He said, draw nigh to me, and I'll draw nigh to you. You resist me, I'll resist you. He said, you walk contrary to me, I'll walk contrary to you. Some of you won't give him much of your time. Some of you won't give him much of your substance. I challenge you to do either one of them in any way toward God. I'll guarantee you it'll work just exactly to the T, like God said. Just to the T. It can't be broken. It can't be altered. It's the same to every generation. Isn't that wonderful? Okay, let's sing it again. I love him. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. I love him. What is his commandments? To love with all your heart, all of your mind, all of your soul, all of your strength. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Look on the things of the other. Esteem others better than yourself. Submit yourself unto others. Don't think about how great you are and who you are and what you are and what a celebrity you are, and I'm a businessman and I'm an executive and I got money and he's my footstool. The Bible said, esteem others better than yourself. Don't be looking on the things of yourself as to what you are and how much education, understand you got. The Bible said to look on another, esteem him better than yourself. And the Bible said for you not to seek your welfare, to how much you're going to make and what you're going to have, but labor that you might have to give to seek another's welfare. I'm telling you the truth, folks. Let's sing it again. I love him. I love him to love indeed, not in word. All because that he first loved me. And he purchased my salvation on Calvary. What happens when we love him and we keep his commandments? It goes like this. Every promise in the book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And I'm trusting in his love divine. Every promise in the book, it is mine. Sing it out. Every promise in this book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And I'm trusting in the word divine. Every promise in this book, it is. Sing it again. Every promise in the book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And I'm trusting in His Word divine. Every promise in the book. Now let's sing it like this. Every promise in the book, it is thine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. So I'm trusting in His Word divine. Every promise in that book. One more time. Every promise in this book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And I'm trusting in His Word divine. Every promise in this book, it is mine. Just again. Every promise in this book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And I'm trusting in His Word divine. Every promise in this book, it is thine. Somebody say amen if you really believe that. Every promise in the book, it is thine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. I'm trusting in the Word divine, because every promise in this book, it is mine. Isn't God good? Hallelujah. How many of you really want to do something for the Lord? You really want to do something for the Lord? You can. You know you can, but there's one thing that you've got to remember is you've had a will, you've got to have a performance. You must have a performance. If you don't have a performance, your will is of no benefit to you whatsoever. Let me encourage you. Don't run from church to church. You're not in the will of God. You're not in the Spirit of God. Listen at me now. Running from church to church, you are not in the Spirit of God. God didn't tell you to do it. It's not God's will. It's only your way of shirking responsibility. And it's because on the inside you're seeking something, and you are not walking with God, and you're not loving the Lord, and you're not finding it, so you're restless and you become like a wandering star everywhere all the time. And you never help anybody in any church do anything or to keep any place as to doing something for God, and you're just wandering to and fro. Find a good church and get into it. Somebody said, well, what about Bethlehem? I think that's a good church for you to get into. I'm not telling you to come to Bethlehem. There's numbers of good churches where people genuinely love God. Get in one of them and stay with them and work with them. It doesn't mean that you can't visit or go see somebody else or be with somebody sometimes. You can. But you should support that cause. If your minister is preaching the gospel of Christ and living a holy, godly life, and you know that, make it your business to find out, to know them that labor among you. And if he's taking and supporting the weak and feeding the hungry, get with him. And stay with him and work with him. And if he isn't doing that, you turn around and walk off and leave him like you never knew about him. Because he isn't God's man. He isn't God's man. God's man, the Bible said, the man that God sendeth will speak God's word. Not only speak God's word, but he'll do God's word. And he'll follow God's word, and he'll practice God's word. Paul said, you've known my manner of life. If the man is a good man or godly man, you've known his way of life, and he's doing the right thing, fasten yourself to him. Because, folks, you're going to need him. And he needs you right now, but someday you're going to need him. So get with him. If not, if he isn't doing those things, you better get away from him. It doesn't matter who he is, how much you think of him, how long you've known him. I tell you in the name of the Lord, you better get away from him. Because he's going to hell, and you're going to go with him. You love the Lord? Let's sing this little chorus together, can we? Let us enter these gates with thanksgiving in our heart. Let us enter these courts with praise. Let us say, this is the day that the Lord hath made. Gonna rejoice 'cause Jesus made me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad, and I'm gonna rejoice 'cause Jesus made me glad. Jesus.
made me glad. My Lord made me glad, and I'm gonna rejoice, 'cause Jesus paid. Sing it with me now. Let us enter God's gates with thanksgiving in our heart. Let us enter God's courts with praise. Let us say, this is the day that my Lord hath made. Gonna rejoice, 'cause Jesus made me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. My Lord made me glad. And I'm gonna rejoice, 'cause Jesus made me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. My Lord made me glad, and I'm gonna rejoice, 'cause Jesus made me. One more time. We're gonna enter God's gates with thanksgiving in our heart. We're gonna enter God's courts with praise. We're gonna say, this is the day that my Lord, gonna rejoice, 'cause Jesus. Oh, Jesus made me glad. My Lord made me glad. And I'm gonna rejoice, 'cause Jesus made me glad. And Jesus made me glad. My Lord made me glad. And I'm gonna rejoice, 'cause Jesus made me glad. Somebody say hallelujah. We're gonna let you go in just a few minutes. Just a few minutes. I tell you what, this is the truth from my heart. There are some things that's taking place that you don't see. Great and mighty things. God said that if you'll call on me, this is what the prophet said, call on me and I will show thee great and mighty things that you've never known, that you've never seen. He said, call on me and I shall show thee great and mighty things. I called on him. And he showed me great and mighty things. Folks, you need to call on him. Pray for the spirit of revelation. Ask God to come into our midst. Do something to direct your lives in Christ. And remember, your performance is what God is looking for. You must, of necessity, have a performance. And that of good works, so that men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. If you don't have good works, then they cannot glorify your Father. But if you have good works, your light will shine, and then men will see your good works, and they will glorify your Father, which is in heaven. I'll say this in closing. Loading the tractor and trailer, we've almost got it filled up with clothing, boxed and in order, because of the labor of our ladies and the efforts of our men that have worked with us, the ladies and men that have worked with us. It's almost filled up and almost ready to go. And the light is so tremendous just with this one thing that it's got the people all around Apalachicola shook up. It's got people all around the different places shook up. They're shook up over it. Why? Because they see a light. And they know that that's pure and undefiled religion. And that is what the world is looking for. They'll see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And the Bible said, this is real salvation. To visit the widows and the orphans and their afflictions, and then to keep yourself unspotted from the world. And the Bible said, when you do this, you know, we've got a lot of sickly folks. Come on, folks. We got a lot of sickly people, especially in America. And it's in the church. But the Bible said, when you do this, your health will return unto you speedily. Come on, somebody said, I just can't get well. I just can't get well. I can't help what you say. Whether it's Brother Pike or whoever it is, I can't help what you say. When you do what God said, your health will come back to you. And thine health shall return unto thee speedily. And then he said, and your life. Somebody said, no, I just can't get nobody to understand what a great, you know, well, what I've gotten, what I know, and who I am. And the Bible said, when you do these things, your light will break forth and go before you, and they shall see your light. And then it says, and God shall be your exceedingly great reward, your exceeding great reward.
And the Bible said, and he shall say, before you ever call, here am I. You don't have to go around and say, man, I got to go on a 10-day fast. I got to pray 2 hours. I got to pray all night. I got to get in touch. And I believe in praying all night. Done it. You know, but the thing is, you don't have to do that. Say, I got to do that. I got to get in touch with God. You don't have to do that. Before you can ever bat your eyes, you can hear a little voice saying, I'm here in the midst of you. I'm with you. You say, well, I want you. No need to tell me that. I've answered that a long time ago. You'll be getting it. As we say, it's coming in the mail. Somebody said mail order from heaven. Somebody wrote a song, package of love sent down from the Father from heaven above. He said, I'll hear before you call, and I'll answer before you call. I've just been sitting around, and even now it's the same way. I'll be sitting around, and I'll just be sitting there thinking, now, I sure would like to have something to drink. And somebody say, wouldn't you like to have something to drink, Brother Pike? I think, Lord, this is just unreal. This is unreal. I think, well, I could go home and get me a sandwich. Somebody said, you know, I'd like to go get you something to eat if you'd like to have it, Brother Pike. I'm telling you the truth. God treats you like a little baby. He loves you. He just, you know, just every little thing. He wants to help you. And like Betty's problem yesterday, my problem, my children's problem, God so abundantly blessed me and heard my prayer when I couldn't do anything. You get to a place to where money don't help. You know, there's places where money can't do nothing. Lawyers can't do nothing. Nobody can do nothing. But like I told my wife, every time we've ever went to battle, I said, Betty, it doesn't matter whether a lawyer's involved or whether money's involved. I said, my confidence is in God. I said, that's the only way we'll ever win out is in God. I said, let them do what they will. God does that. But I said, I'm counting on Jesus. I'm counting on Jesus. My faith is in Jesus. Not my income, not my finance, not the things that God has given me. Leaning on the arm of flesh, going down to Egypt for my help, the Bible said, cursed is he. I don't have my confidence there. I have my confidence in Jesus. We could go on and on, but we're going to close. Let's just close our eyes and lift our hands together. And I'm going to ask our brother out here. I can't remember his name. It's with Debbie. Comes in with Debbie from the store over here. I'd like to have him come up and dismiss tonight, if you will. Do you know his name there, Richard? I know your name, Terry, but I just let it slip my mind tonight. We're going to ask Terry to dismiss tonight. While Terry's praying, I want you, Terry comes to worship regular with us. Now, I believe he wants to love the Lord and do right. And while he's coming to pray with us now, I want you to lift your hands. I appreciate you coming tonight. I really do from my heart. I'm not sure. I believe Brother Red's son's back here, and I'm not sure about that. Somebody's back there that I don't know. Is he back there? I thought it was Brother Red's son. I wasn't sure about it. But anyway, we're certainly glad to have him. I believe he's the one that sent the $100 the other day to help us in the work of the Lord in these things. And Brother Red also sent word that had he known it earlier, he would like to have contributed in a greater way. But we're glad to have you tonight. We thank God for every one of you. You mean something special to us. Every time you come, you're special to us. Whether you believe that or not, it is the truth. And seeing Sister Harper and feeling better just makes me feel so good to know that everything's going well with her and God's helping her. You pray for us. We've got a big load to carry, folks. We've got a lot of responsibility, a lot of things on our mind. You might not realize it, but the entire world is resting on my shoulders. And I need your help. I need your prayers. I need your confidence. And I need you to walk with us. I need you to. You know, and you can do it if you will. But it's up to you, Brother Terry.